SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friendos, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am The Welch. You can find on Twitter at Is It The Welch with Mr. Scott Bogman at Bogman Sports and in Phoenix, not in the home studio. You are you're literally in the bedroom of one of our dear friends doing a podcast. You just did one a little bit earlier. We are going to be breaking down opening day reactions, but I don't want you to think this is like it's not going to have any life, you know, after like a day or two. It's going to be breaking down a lot of the, you know, interesting guys that popped up that might be on waivers, some of the closer situations, any of the crazy lineup things. And I think plenty of those are going to kind of carry on through the weekend. So this is just kind of initial reactions that Bogman and I will do. Plus, we were at the Diamondbacks and we'll kind of start there in just a second. But Boggs, how are you doing on the timing? You had some fun yesterday. You crashed out nice and early and now you are, looks like you're in the bedroom of potentially dead relatives too. I don't know. There's like really old pictures from like the 50s, maybe just parents or something like that.
I think this is Grandpa Lopez over here. Okay. So, yeah, man, I have not adjusted to Phoenix time and I think, you know, I leave tomorrow morning, so I don't think I'm going to get it.
Yeah. You're not going to need fine. To.
Yeah. It's a quick 4-day trip. So, get home tomorrow, but yeah, we had a blast at the Diamondbacks game, even though they lost, it was still a good time. Yeah, opening day was a lot of fun too. Not the results that we wanted for some of these guys, but, specifically our team. But yeah, it was still fun nonetheless.
Well, we'll talk about all of the stuff and of the things. I want to remind you guys to come over to InThisLeague.com, sign up on the Patreon. Still plenty of reasons because we've got the prospect and dynasty updates monthly. We've got the GroupMe rooms, which you can come out and hang with us, have access to the community, have access to us. A very big sell, plus any and all of the extra stuff we're going to be doing on. And I've been adding in some streams. Definitely going to be going on through April, where I'm going to be doing 1 to 2 streams myself a week. And we just did one on opening day, 4-hour stream. By the way, shout out to our boy K-Pax, who ended up winning the autographed Jackson Chourio jersey, which I just sent out a little bit earlier today. I'm going to be doing one on Monday. It looks like I might do the Monday and Wednesday, just throwing out to you guys. I'm going to be doing one again this Monday, going to have some more raffle items in there. But here's the Patreon reason. One element, it'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/InThisLeague. You guys can sub, get rid of the ads, hang out there. But also there is a private YouTube channel that is only for Patreon. So it's essentially only Patreon people can be there. If you don't want to deal with Twitch, just want to give people options no matter what. But that is posted and available to everybody. And as well, like any of the raffle or goofy things, we post there before anybody else and in the GroupMe room. So all of that, plus if you guys just want to be awesome and support the boys, we very much appreciate it. InThisLeague.com. Sign up today at InThisLeague.com. So our day, it definitely started with the Diamondbacks, but just as a one quick over, still cannot believe it's a big organization. But MLB absolutely dropped the effing ball, dude, on opening day with MLB.tv going down for many people. There was some weird stuff. Someone had said like, oh, no, it's working on Roku. Then it was gone. Some people said things were OK. I think watching like DirecTV, I think it was fine. The MLB package on DirecTV, someone said. But on the website, MLB.tv and the app, we had almost an hour where everything was down. So you couldn't watch the Orioles game. And then it came up right as the like next set of games, you know, popped up. But I don't know, like, you don't want to be too harsh because stuff happens for everybody. But like baseball, dude, like opening day,
man, get it together. I mean, honestly, I appreciate you saying like, hey, look, you know, let's give them some grace sometimes. But it's opening day, man. You should have figured this stuff out in spring training.
Aren't you running tests? Yeah, 100%. You run load tests. You run all of that. People are excited about baseball and the stuff goes down. You probably lost people throughout the day. Just was a brutal blow. Looks like everything
it was
is
weird
good.
For me too. Well, because I went to a bar that, and the bar had terrible reception. So I'm like, is this the location or is this MLB? Like, I couldn't tell what was happening. I was getting like no updates for like 30 minutes.
It was
driving me
crazy. You thought it was the bar, but it wasn't. So then Monday was great, though. I did the leading off, great numbers. We did like 45 minutes. And I did the 4-hour-ish stream on talking waivers and lineups. And we did the raffle, which was awesome. We were watching some of the games. Got my ass waxed yesterday, though. And just I always forget. There's such a battle of doing opening day stuff because you're so excited. You want to do everything, but it's like, you know, first fives are more dangerous. The first month or 2 weeks or so, it's a little bit better to do total lines. Props are just through the roof. And I just got my ass whacked. So I picked it up and I drove down to Phoenix to meet up with this son of a bitch right here. So ITL could be back in person. And the best part was Bogman was having some fun. We didn't get into it. I saw Bogman. Bogman was having so much fun. And your face reeked of fun, Boggs, when I met you. You were having a grand old time, if you know what I'm saying, when we met at that.
Yeah, not even intentional. Bit off a little more than I can chew there. But we got all worked out. You know, it's not really a vacation. It's a semi-vacation. But
But you're supposed to have fun on that vacation.
We had some fun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was my day of fun. So today is my day of work and then fun. So
and I posted a picture you posted the picture. It was like a big selfie with you, me and Jag in Patreon. And you were like, Jesus, look at me. And I was like, you were having 75% more fun like an hour ago, like 30 minutes ago. You were having that fun. You're like, look,
still
at
my
me.
Eyes were bloodshot from all the fun that I was having. Right.
You are having a lot of fun. Let's start with the first breakdown, because that's really what we're here to do. We're going to look at all the games and just relevant pieces. I think that's always kind of what we've done on opening day, is just kind of going through the slate of games, because there's a lot of relevant information I thought that we got out of between, you know, like I said, on the live stream, I went through lineup things. Lineup issues had some pretty big importance that came to during the games. And then obviously some performance. But let's just talk about that Diamondbacks game, because it was like, it was Cubs. It was the most packed I think you and I had ever seen it. Not our first Cubs Diamondbacks opening day either, which was crazy. Go ahead.
I think a big thing was like to see it full was great, but also to see it full of more Diamondback fans than Cubs fans was actually kind of surprising, because look, if you build it, they will come. You sign Corbin Burns, you put the money into the team, the fans show up in Phoenix, and there were over 49,000.
Wish he would have pitched.
Day, so
wish he would have been the pitcher for sure. That would have been really nice. I hit up Justin Steele before the game, and Justin was just like, Justin is obviously in season mode. He hasn't gotten into football, like let's talk all day type of mode. Cause I was like, hey dude, I'm going to be at the game. I was hoping to see you, but I see that you're pitching. It was originally Shota and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, you know, just like, thanks so much, man. That was it. But it was nice enough. And then I booed the ever living crap out of him when he was on the mound. Get out of here, you dirtbag. Diamondbacks stunk ass last night. The biggest concern, though, and I don't think as a PSA, you shouldn't freak out about anything that happens over the next week. There are some things we have to react to, and there's levels and degrees and stuff like that. But just as a caveat, because you know, Jackson Chourio went 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts. We had somebody being like, do you like, this is not a ridiculous question, by the way, but in leading off, someone was like, Jackson Merrill or Jackson Chourio in keeper? And it was just like, it's still Chourio, dude. But you know what I'm getting at? Like, the questions are going to start coming up. So I caveat this with saying, like, I don't think there's anything we should have, like, just freak out reactions. But Zach Gallen was bad last night. And when I say bad, it was the worst version of Zach Gallen that you can possibly get. His line was hilarious. Who is that guy? Who are those guys? Oh man. He's one of the John Boy guys followed me last night. Dalton.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Dalton Feeley. He's with John Boy because he's a Diamondbacks fan. And he followed last night and he had this tweet out. He's like, my OCD appreciates this, but I hate this line. It was Zach Gallen, 4 innings, 4 hits, 4 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts was his line. And it was so much worse in person than what the stat line showed. Velo, there was some Velo down stuff. I'm going to pull this up on the Baseball Savant. The most concerning was he could not throw strikes. He was under 50% zone percentage on, let's see, I think it
first
was
pitch strikes.
Well, first pitch strikes was he was at like or just 50%. Under 50% first pitch strikes, which is bad. His fastball, 35% zone percentage. Knuckle curve, 61, 45 on the slider. Changeup was 22%. Here's what I'm getting at. One pitch was in the zone 50% or more of the time, and it was the slowest pitch for guys to be able to turn on. And guess what, by the way? Got hit 108.7. So the dude had no fastball command whatsoever. The velo was down. It's not showing here, but he averaged 92.9. The slider was inconsistent and he was trying to throw changeups again. He looked really bad. And on top of every single bit of it, he was getting hit hard. I think it was 6 hard hit balls in 4 innings against. I am very concerned with every piece of it because, and sorry, I'm talking a lot here, but like, as I made this tweet, when Gallen doesn't have the fastball, he then starts to retreat to straight knuckle curves and changeups, and that gets guys to start waiting. All they're going to do is if you throw me anything in the zone, they're waiting and reacting to the secondary stuff. I have a big radar up right now for Zach Gallen. I think he can bounce back, but I hated everything of what we saw in this past game, and the velo was just not there either. So my spidey senses are screaming a little bit on him.
Well, I understand it, and it did not look good, and he was not getting strikes over. But I'll just say this. The game was 10-6, and the strike zone was a goddamn teacup.
It was a teacup. Now, Bogman, I want to give you guys credit. I'm interrupting you again. But Bogman, like within, I think, 3 first pitches, looked at me and he's like, this is going to be a high ass scoring game because this zone is nothing. And I was like, all right, I hope not. And then, you know, 10-16 later.
Yeah. It was 10-6. Yeah, it was it was a high scoring affair. Both guys weren't getting good calls. It felt like the strike zone was wild in this game. So it was the first game for the umpires too. But I'll say this, like, you know, Zach Gallen didn't have his best speed, but it was better than Justin Steele. He just could not get the ball over. Like, Justin Steele was sitting at 89, 91. And he was up early. That's typical of what he is. But I think Gallen's going to be okay. I think this was, he did not have command, so it's not where it should be, even to start the year. So that's concerning for the very beginning of the season. He didn't get crushed. He gave up 4-4. It's not great, but it's not like a killer. The D-backs could have got back in this game. There were. McCarthy dropped one. Perdomo made a mistake.
Suarez overthrew one.
Yeah. So there were mistakes in every facet of the game here for the D-backs yesterday, but Gallen was the most concerning piece for sure.
And I guess the only thing else I'm saying is, like, if he doesn't throw strikes, then no one's offering it anything and they're just sitting on their pitch and they're hitting it hard. And Gallen's stuff is just not there right now, where Justin threw strikes, you know, over 50% on his top 3 pitches, which accounted for, you know, 85% or what he was throwing. Neither one of these guys are getting big called strikes or, you know, like CSW percentage or whiffs or anything like that. But my spidey senses are up. By the way, Ryan Nelson also got lit up and did not look good for the people that are like, let's get, you know, let's get him back onto it. Offensively, you know, from the Diamondbacks perspective, I don't think there was really much to take from anything. Corbin was not running against Amaya, which was super weird. They did we saw the platoon short and strong side platoons with Grichuk and Pavin Smith. There's nothing really to take away. Cubs were annihilating. Michael Bush, I thought, looked really good. If he's still sitting out there, I picked up Miguel Amaya in a catcher league that is really, really deep.
Guy can hit.
Yeah, exactly. And Matt Shaw scored 3 runs in that game, even though he was pushed down in the lineup. But looks like 8 is going to be his lineup spot. And they brought in Presley at the end of the game. Very important as well, just because it wasn't a save, but it was like a high leveragey situation because all those runs, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, a good game for the offenses of these teams. The pitching seemed a little bit wobbly, specifically Gallen, but good game nonetheless. And, you know, I hope we see 0 hits for them today because I'm going again tonight. Let's go.
Yeah, I actually got offered really good seats to go on Saturday. I just can't go, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I know, but it varies, boo. I will say this. We'll kind of have this as a running chart throughout this episode of guys that I do have a level of concern with, because there's a lot that I'm going to look at. And it's like, I don't care that Churio went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. But there are going to be, as we go, a chart, and I'll even kind of mark it, of Spidey senses and concerns early on, and I will mark those, and I'll recap it at the end of the show. Let's take a break, though. When we come back, no more Diamondbacks. Shout out to Chris Young for the hat fund, getting me a brand new Diamondbacks hat. That was sweet. Shout out to our boy Larry for buying us drinks as well. Just shout out to the people doing the stuff and the things. But let's take a break. When we come back, let's start breaking down all of this stuff. And we're going to be talking about the relevant things from opening day, any waivers to kind of get ahead of, and we will do it right after this.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
First game that started up, Brewers and Yankees, ended in a 4-2 Yankee win. I thought both pitchers were super interesting. Carlos Rodon looked pretty good. I think I saw that it was maybe the sinker usage, or maybe it was changeup. I know Alex Fast, I think, was tweeting about it, but we saw like a little pitch mix change. I thought he looked really good. Peralta did the anti, or like what you would have wanted out of Gallen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Really struggled to start. Gave up a couple homers, but then just came back to it. And I was pretty impressed with what Peralta was able to end up doing at the end of the day. Anything on either one of those pitchers? I don't know if you even watched much of that game. That was the first
one. Yeah, actually, I did see big chunks of those games. I thought both pitchers, specifically Rodon, looked really good. You know, Rodon got in a little bit of trouble giving up that bomb early, but 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. I think you said the velo was good. And Freddie, I mean, this is typical Freddie, 5 innings. You know, they don't let him go a lot deeper than that. And 8 strikeouts on 1 walk and only 2 earned. That should have been good enough for them to do something with it. But unfortunately, this was a much tighter game than the one we saw.
Yeah. And it was the thing with Rodon to watch. He went primary slider in this with a 60% whiff rate on his slider, 54% CSW, because he also got called strikes on it. 15 called strikes and whiffs on his slider alone. He threw 28 of them. And then that made the fastball, I think, a bit more efficient. Didn't get whiffs, but it got some called strikes. So I was very encouraged by that from Rodon. I think that's a big up. Only other thing, I guess, would be, Devin Williams tried to give up the game. He didn't. He got the save in the weird closer situation.
Against his old team. I like that.
There's nothing with Churio, right? Is there anything? I mean, I don't want to be dismissive. You're allowed to have if there's like some weirdness, but like he went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. Pat Murphy's like, you'll learn.
It sucks.
That.
Yeah, it sucks. It's not a good start. We know that. And if he piles these type of performances on top of each other, he'll move down in the lineup real quick. And then, you know, maybe even worse than that. So, but one day there is no reason to get. Let's give him a month. Let's see what he's like, even in a week. You know what I mean? There is absolutely no reason to panic.
I did like Dominguez hitting six. I thought there were opportunities for them to maybe try to put him lower if they wanted, but six is a good
spot. Also lifted him for a defensive replacement late,
which will probably be a normal thing. So like getting three at bats out of Jason Dominguez, I wouldn't be shocked about. Trent Grisham came in, but you know, like hitting in front of Jazz and Goldie, that's solid, man. So outside of Bryce Terang was hitting nine. I don't particularly love that. I'm not going to do anything about it yet just because of, you know, just pitching matchups, but
the lefty starter too. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see where he ends up going. The next game, Oriole, that we didn't get to see the beginning of, Orioles and Blue Jays. Orioles obliterated the Blue Jays 12-2. Barrios looked like trash. 90 pitches, gave up six earned runs, three homers, five strikeouts. Eflin, dude, I had the strikeout prop on Eflin. He had two strikeouts, I think, in the first two innings, and then he went four or five more innings, whatever, without any strikeouts. He went six. He was very efficient in it, but the Orioles just dominated. Adley, three hits. He continued. Tyler O'Neill, freaking six straight opening days with a homer. Cedric Mullins, 3-for-5 with five RBI. He hit two homers in that.
Dude.
Let's stop on the Orioles side. What do you got on the Orioles?
I just feel like, you know, Tyler O'Neill hitting bombs is tradition. Jose Barrios getting smashed on opening day. That is, those, these things are tradition. But that's when true. We're looking at the O's, you know, you get to their home runs. It's crazy. Westberg, Rutschman had two. Mullins had two. Tyler O'Neill got his. Just so many homers in this game. They smashed. And yeah, Eflin. We know what Eflin is. He's good for your ERA, your whip, and you know, your wins. He's not a strikeout guy. Only two
quality start game, guy.
That's fine. Yeah, quality start guy. Exactly. That's why he goes later, and he's a good option. So, I don't know that there's a ton to take away just from, you know, they look good and they smash the crap out of the ball, specifically Tyler O'Neill.
I'll say I love Westberg hitting three. And I think, you know, when Gunner comes back, Gunner will just go to that leadoff spot again and Westberg can just stay there a majority of the time. And then Kowser can move to four and then maybe O'Neill. I think O'Hearn should move down and they can do stuff like that. Ryan Mountcastle hit one 115. So if you're on your big max EVs, that's something to watch. A Holiday had two strikeouts, but he did have a hit. So we'll kind of continue to monitor that. I'm not sure if there's like any, you know, again, on my ups and downs takeaway. I will say I like Westberg hitting three. That makes me feel better. One of the surprising lineup things on the Blue Jays side was Jimenez hitting four. Andres Jimenez was in the cleanup spot and he hit a homer and he had two.
I know it's kind of funny that he hit a homer. Yeah. That were kind of eyebrow raising here, but don't know how often that's going to, do you think he's going to stick at four?
I mean, like, what else are they going to do? Springer doesn't hit anymore. So, yeah, I kind of think that they're going to keep giving him that opportunity. Like, that's pretty amazing. He's hitting two or four. Both of them are really good.
I think he should hit two. I think Vlad should hit three. But I get it. You want Vlad higher. Get him more ABs. I understand that. It's not a bad strategy at all. Two walks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on. Yeah.
In this game for a man to run. But yeah, I don't know if it feels right. I don't know if it's going to stick. We'll see.
All right. Something that is going to stick. I'm excited to talk about the play of the day. The guy of the day was Mackenzie Gore. Nationals lost. They ended up losing to Phillies 7-3. Mackenzie Gore was so good. He ruined my Philly stuff. I did not think this was going to be the case. I had Phillies to be up by a run through the first five. Washington was up 1-0. Mackenzie Gore, six innings. He gave up one hit, struck out 13. 13 is a wild number. I saw, man, I'm forgetting who did it. It could have been Lance Brozdowski, I think. But really interesting thing he talked about, I think it was Lance, that it was like, 5%-ish last year, you were seeing him throw sliders against lefties, and he went ham. It was like 20 or 50%, some insane. I mean, now I want to look what it was. But Lance was talking about how bonkers he went on the slider side. here was your numbers on the inside. 44% fastball. It had a 27% whiff rate, solid. 32% called strike, CSW percentage, good. It was in the zone. Slider, 25% of the time. 80% whiff rate, 61% CSW, because he also got six called strikes. Or, I'm sorry, he had eight whiffs. So 14 called strikes and whiffs is absolutely absurd. And I think it was, let me see, it was Lance. Yeah, here it goes. New slider. Slider was primary offering versus lefties. Fastball usage down 56 to 44, and he was using that against lefties. Mackenzie Gore looked freaking great. There is a big overreaction potential on the table here, but he was touching 95. He's using his slider differently. Double-digit percentage of the changeup and curveball. I'm in. I think I don't know
hard what not to be.
I don't know what's a hot take or anything like that, but like instantly top 50 SP. Like he's a must pickup if he's floating out there on the back end. We just didn't see the and for him to dominate the Phillies like that. I am massively going to buy into what Mackenzie Gore did. It might be an overreaction. I'm not going to sell that. I'm not going to drop Zach Gallen for Mackenzie Gore, but I want Mackenzie Gore here. I love this change. It's
hard not to be into this. I mean, 13 strikeouts, no walks at all against a really good lineup. Now it's opening day. You know, maybe these guys aren't ready. And also, you know, Wheeler had a great start as well. Eight strikeouts and only two walks for him. So maybe they, you know, this game kind of got a much bigger framework for strikes than our game did, which is definitely possible. But still to walk nobody in a great lineup and strike out 13 in the opener. I mean, that was in struck out 13 on 93 pitches. It didn't even cross the century mark.
No walks, one hit. Like, and dude, and by the way, it's Schwarber, Harper, Turner, Bohm. It's not the Marlins who won. It's not that it was.
Yeah,
Mackenzie Gore was great.
And you said both these guys that had these great performances that we talked about so far, Gore and Rodon, both upping their slider percentage, which is, you know, significant. And we have to keep an eye on that because, you know, remember when the Orioles wouldn't let guys throw a slider, right? Because it's, you know,
Diamondbacks used one to of those not allow that, putters.
Right. One of those pitches that, you know, they're worried about TJ or whatever, but Gore looked amazing here. So hard not to get behind this.
It's awesome so funny. Start. It was like all this like pitch analysis of like, oh, these are the pitches for TJ. And it's like, how about throwing 99 every single pitch? Yeah. How about the fastballs that are it?
But
yeah. So if you're asking like where are we at or where am I at on Mackenzie Gore? I loved it. I love the efficiency. That's always been his issue because I thought he was the number one pitching prospect when he came out. I saw him at these crazy levels where he was just dropping this curveball. It looked amazing, but he's got this great fastball slider combination that, by the way, he's throwing for strikes. His top, let's do quick math, 85% of pitches thrown was 50% zone percentage. So he was keeping them in. They weren't getting on it, fouling off. They were 70% swing zone percentage on the fastball and the curveball. And 45% on the outside, swinging outside the zone as well. And he was getting whiffs. Like, I think it's all good. I think it's definitely something to buy into. And it was probably the most like prevalent. Zach Wheeler was good. Romano blew the save. I'll just kind of reiterate. I think you got to pay attention to Jose Alvarado, who came in after, struck out two, hit 101. I know some people are looking at Orion Kerkring, but he came in the seventh. So I think Alvarado, if Romano has any more shakiness, he might be the guy.
We put him out because he was crushing in spring and his velo was up. He was averaging triple digits. So Alvarado looks healthy and ready to rock.
Nothing on the Philly side. Bohm hitting three, you know, is solid against lefties. We'll watch that. Not a ton on, I guess, the national sides either, except James Wood hitting two, I love, and that was against a righty. Luis Garcia hitting three, down with. Cruz against a righty went all the way down to eight. End up having one registered hard hit. He walked and scored a run, which is good. But yeah, you said it. Hate that. Don't want him to be there. So against lefties, I imagine he'll hit higher. I wonder, but I don't know what it'll look like. Is it going to be maybe he leads off against lefties and then they go Abrams 2 and Wood moves down to 4 or 5. I'm not 100% sure, but if Cruz moves back up, I'm gonna feel better about it. But down at 8 was,
well, yeah. Yeah, it's not great, but the good news is there's not a lot keeping him out. I mean, Nate Lowe struggles, Josh Bell struggles, Paul DeJong struggles. He's moving ahead of all those guys. So, and Kiebert as well, but Kiebert had a nice start here, 2 for 4 with a bomb. So, I think there's plenty of opportunity for him to move up. He just has to earn it.
Yeah, and again, the reactionary thing will be, let's see what happens against lefties. Does he go to 1? Does he go to 2? What are they comfortable with? It is going to be a long ass year for me if Garrett Crochet looks in the rest of the games how he looked in this game. Boston Red Sox, Texas Rangers. Red Sox ended up winning. It took to the bullpen. Boston scored 3 in the 9th, which ended up changing it. I had them as a money line first 5. I got saved. We pushed. We did not win, but I did win the team totals. It was only 1.5 in this matchup. It took till the 5th. I think it was the Willier Abreu homer in there. Let's start with Garrett Crochet. 88 pitches. He went 5 innings, gave up 5 hits, 2 earned runs, only struck out 4 and walked 2. Surface level, if you didn't watch the game, it's okay. I think people are like, they're okay with where some of it was. He got squeezed in a couple spots, which I'm keeping in mind. There were 2 moments where there were strikeouts, but you know, he was pretty inefficient. He talked about it after the game. I don't know. Did you see what he was? Let me pull this up here, because I thought this was interesting. He kind of likened, whoops, I probably don't want to go to his actual account. He likened the first inning and going deep as kind of setting him back for the whole game. God, I keep doing this. I keep literally going to, you know, when you type in someone's name, but then you go to their handle instead of just searching them.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about here. Let me pull this up here. I just want you to, I didn't mean it like that, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Here's Garrett Crochet talking about the outing. If you just want to hear.
So what do you make of the first one?
Ness.
Yeah, it was kind of a grinder day from the start. I felt like, you know, I struggled with consistent execution. Maybe took a few too many shots in the first couple innings trying to get swing and miss, and kind of dug myself in a hole with pitch count early. But, you know, later on in the game, kind of just started trusting the defense and, you know, trusting everybody other than myself, and just started trying to fill up the zone as best I could.
You talked last, I think, in your last start, being frustrated with a leadoff walk. You had another one of those, yeah. And that kind of came back to kick you.
Yeah, just walks in general. You know, last year I feel like I...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready!
Didn't walk guys, so I feel like I've been putting a little excess pressure on myself to not walk guys. Realistically, though, it's part of the game. Had a chance to pitch around it. Wanted the sinker to Higashioka. Obviously, just left it with a lot of plate. That's just kind of it.
So I'll stop it there. So, like, my takeaways here are, I made a little thing about it watching the Savant stuff. Once it changes, but it's really interesting right now. I can't see year over year changes. They just got rid of all of it for today. But at least according to the live stuff, his fastball was like okay, but his sinker and his cutter were down around 1.5 miles per hour on both sides. Did not love that. He went primary cutter 49%. He upped his cutter percentage in this one. So we saw a lot more of that. He was tinkering. If there is an opportunity to buy on Garrett Crochet, someone's worried, I am doing it. But there's some things to listen to in there, like the walks. That's, to me, I hear the sounds of a guy that is maybe going to trust pitching to a little bit more contact, especially on road games, and maybe strikeouts don't go up. He just didn't seem like he had the swing and miss stuff. He only struck out 4, but there were some that were taken away from him. I'm not going to put him in a category where there's anything important. Like, oh my God, freak out. I'm going to buy him for anybody that's worried. But I do think you have to pay attention, at least as Savant is still figuring this stuff out, some of the velo stuff, because the velo stuff looked a little Sinker, he could not throw for strikes, 29% zone percentage. Cutter and fastball might have been in the zone a little too much. Those are both over 60%. So sweeper, I feel like that percentage was maybe down a little bit. Like, actually, let me look. What was his... You know, one thing I wish is we could have an easy check-in on the player's full seasonal stats when you go to, like, the in-game live. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Let's see. 2024, he was... I guess he was about 10% sweeper. So he was way more cutter, little less sweeper in this one. And sinker was only 2%. And in this game, it was 8%. So, like, pitch mix stuff was out there. We'll see if he gets fixed. I just want to throw it out there. Keep an eye.
I understand. I think there's two things to remember, and this is why this shouldn't get an overreaction quite yet. Number one, pitch speed is not all the way back in your very first start. You know,
100%. You're right about that.
Yeah. So seeing a velo dip early, first two, three, four starts of the season, not the most shocking thing in the world. So let's first keep it there. Number two, I think we forget just how crazy good this Rangers lineup is now. That
also a fantastic point that I was not focused on during the game of like how talented that freaking team is.
I mean, it listen to it. Like the top six are crazy. I mean, the bottom of the lineup is whatever, but Semien, Seager, Langford, Adolis, Berger, Josh Young, the bottom three of Pilar, who was 2-for-3, by the way, not usually one of their bangers. He was 2-for-3. Higashioka had a hit in there as well. And Josh Smith, that can be hit or miss, but that's a very, very good lineup you're churning through as well. And they had the Red Sox total have 4 strikeouts against Semien and Seager in the top of the lineup. So did not get the bottom of the lineup a lot at all. Young had 1 and then Josh Smith had 2. So just not a lot of guys striking out, 7 total in 10 innings in this game.
So Crochet will try not to have any big major freakouts on the Rangers side. It was weird. I didn't even notice this during the game, but Seager DH'd and then they had Josh Smith play shortstop. Probably also a piece of, I guess they're not going to, they talked about playing maybe Jock versus some lefties. That did not happen in this one. He pinch hit on the Red Sox side. Their offense is really muted in this game. It's amazing they pulled through, but Willier Abreu, man. Willier registered 2 of his 3 pieces of contact were over 110. He had 3 of the top 4 hardest hit balls in this game. Jaron Duran had the highest, but 110.8, 110.7, and 108.7. He finished 3-for-3 with 2 homers, a walk, and 4 RBIs. Beautiful swing. Looks consistent. Healthier. I think that was something I just missed, that it's like, oh, okay, I think we're good to go. And the reason why it's like Yoshida is going to have to fight for whatever it is. I really love Willier right now. Willier is on the up. If Willier is out there, I had some questions. I am picking him up because I thought the bat was good. He's going to offer himself up opportunities to move up a little bit, even though Christian Campbell is in front of him. I would not be shocked if Story even struggles, if you started seeing Willier push that 5 spot, but really big power, insane swing. Somebody out there as well put out some of the bat speed stuff. By the way, I think it was Willier and Christian Campbell both registered top 10 fastest swings first opening day. But we're talking like 76, 77, 78 mile per hour. So big, massive swing. So all that, Campbell looked good. Offense as a whole was kind of muted. But Willier Abreu is definitely one that, again, don't lose your mind, but I'm in. I'm in on Willier
Abreu. Yeah, and Willier Abreu with the great performance. Also, we didn't even mention Eovaldi. 9 strikeouts, no walks, 2 earned. Great performance for him as well. So
Devers look stupid.
I mean, there are things to be concerned about in this game, but a couple positives as well. And I'm with you. Like, you know, Abreu hitting 7 now, but I think after that top 4, after Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, I think 5 through 9 is all move. So if he keeps hitting like this, he's going to move up in the lineup for sure for Will.
Yeah, and let's see. Today's lineup, he's still 7, though. It's the same lineup against Jack Leiter that's going today, just throwing you out here.
I can change it after one day, but, yeah. You know.
Jock is hitting 4 against a righty. So there's another nice. Man, that lineup 1 through 6 is just crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I'm just doing a little peek. By the way, Jimenez is back at 4 today in the lineup. So that does look like, for the Blue Jays against righties, that's going to be kind of a consistent one. Only other thing to mention, it was a tight game, but Chapman came in a tied game situation. Then they got the lead, and then Justin Slayton ended up getting the save for them. I don't think anything to think too much of, except maybe he's their fallback option with Kimbrel on the, or not Kimbrel, with, what's his name? Liam Hendricks on the IL. But then hilariously, Bochy says like, oh, Luke Jackson is going to get the save. Blows that up. Chris Martin had come in before and was clean. I don't know. I think Chris Martin maybe gets one of the next two looks here because Luke Jackson got obliterated and cost them that game. So that already might be done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are
too easy. Yeah. I think it is. I think Chapman's the guy. And so hopefully they won't have too many extra inning situations again.
Pirates, I tweeted out the worst lineup I've ever seen in the history of opening day was the Miami Marlins, and they won. Against Paul Skeens, because of course that's how the day went. Not a ton of runs scored. Actually, Pirates had the lead going into the bottom of the sixth. Paul Skeens ends up going 5 1/3. Of course, does not get any of the strikeout props. He had a fourth inning, I believe, where he had no strikeouts, which was like absolutely brutal. Like that was our opportunity. He just kind of tapered on the back end. He went 5 1/3, 7 strikeouts. Looked good. He got some fits from, Xavier Edwards was giving him some fits, but Skeens looked about Skeensy. David Bednar blew the save, and that might be the end of that. I'm not 100% sure if that's going to go. Offensively, Nick Gonzalez had this really weird moment. He hit a homer, and he got hurt. He got hurt on the homer, and he limped around, and then he got taken immediately out of the game, and he's kind of a sneaky guy. And Joey Bart hit 4. Which I thought was really nice to see. Anything on the Pirates side you want to throw out?
I mean, not too much here. Skeens was great, like you said. I think the biggest story here is Bednar. And, you know, we've even heard Pittsburgh say we're not really super confident in him. So blowing the opening day save and getting the loss is real bad. This is a terrible look. So
well,
I think
also,
Holderman is going to be the next. Holderman gave up 2 also. So, they got to figure out who's going to close games here in Pittsburgh because it's ugly already.
David Robertson's a guy that hasn't signed. Like that would be an interesting one. Go pick him up and see if you can get him to. He's got closing experience. On the Marlins side, I do love watching Xavier Edwards. I'm going to throw that out. He had 2 walks, 1 run, 1 RBI, but no attempted stolen base. I don't know what's going on, man. Nothing from him and nothing from Corbin Carroll. Very light, and he wants to steal like 60 bases, but really is a tough out. Rest of the lineup is just absolute dog poop, but Sandy Alcantara looked awesome. So if you are in or wherever you are on the Sandy Alcantara front, I was thoroughly impressed. He was absolutely freaking dealing. He was touching 99. He sat 97. The changeup was back. The changeup had a 50% whiff rate. Love to see that. He was throwing the sinker for strikes, a little bit out of the zone. Forcing fastball was a nice setup pitch. It wasn't getting whiffs, but he was getting it on the slider. Threw the slider 18% of the time. Love Sandy Alcantara.
Rocket. I mean, control wasn't great.
For the first start.
Only 2 hits, though.
Well, and that's that zone on, I wish I could see which pitches cause the walks, because the changeup where he likes to go to on the punch pitch, that was a 35% zone percentage. And I would have an expectation that's probably where you've got some of it. But yeah, you are right about the walks, but the strikeouts over there, the punches, I just feel good. I felt really good about Sandy. I walked away like, oh, he's kind of back.
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. Everything. All the underlying stuff is great. That's what matters. And he did look good in that case. And he had 7 strikeouts, which is huge. It's just control. You know, it's something from the very beginning. So we'll see.
Cincinnati Reds blew a save to the Giants. That is right. Hunter Green, 8 strikeouts in 5 innings. No go. Logan Webb wasn't really great. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. A lot of walks from just like really good pitchers so far this year. Very walk heavy. But Ian Jabot came in. Nobody knew that was going to be the guy. Everyone was like Tony Santillan or Graham Ashcraft. Gives up 4 runs and a big homer to, I think it was Patrick Bailey, absolutely blowing the save, which you have to imagine, we're done. Terry Francona is not going to go back to him. But who the hell is it going to be? Santillan came in before him. Emmanuel Pagan has experience. Scott Barlow, Graham Ashcraft, have absolutely no idea. And I don't trust much of it. I would speculate on Santillan. But Jabot was a huge epic disaster, and he was gone before he was even a thing, dude.
I mean, 2 outs, 4 earned. That's horrific result. So, and it was Crybaby that hit the homer, Wilmer Flores that hit the bomb.
Yeah,
against him. So,
wiping his tears as he rounds third base. He was just crying all the way home. There wasn't much from this game. Strand had a couple hits. He was really low in the order, so I think that's a big positive. Ellie just obviously looks phenomenal. No stolen base attempt. He was in a walk and a hit.